21. Be kindly and patient in bearing with the defects and weaknesses of others, keeping always before thine eyes thine own miseries, by reason of which thou art also in need of being borne in compassion by others. 22. In a word, show humility and meekness towards all, but more especially towards those for whom thou feelest some repugnance and aversion, avoiding the exclamation which some persons make, God forbid that I should entertain any hatred against that man, but I cannot abide his being near me, nor do I care to have anything at all to do with him. Take it for granted that this dislike arises also from pride, and from thy not having conquered haughty nature and self-love with the weapons of grace. For if these persons would truly abandon themselves to the inspirations of divine grace, they would very soon feel all the difficulties which they experience within themselves overcome by a true humility, and would patiently bear with natures which are even rougher and more uncongenial. 23. Should any affliction overtake thee, bless the Lord, who hath so ordained it for thy greater good. Believe that thou hast deserved it, and even more in greater troubles, and art not worthy of any consolation. Thou mayest ask the Lord in all simplicity to deliver thee from it, if, such being pleasing unto him, otherwise beg him to give thee strength to bear thy trial meritoriously. In thy crosses seek not for exterior consolation, especially when it is evident that God sends them to thee for thy humiliation, and to abate thy pride and presumption, but exclaim with the royal psalmist, It is good for me, O Lord, that thou hast humbled me, that I may learn thy justifications. 24. For the same reason, yield not to feelings of annoyance and disgust at table, because the food set before thee is little suited to thy taste. Do in this case as the poor of Jesus Christ, who willingly eat whatever is set before them, giving thanks unto Providence. 25. If any one blame or speak ill of thee unjustly, or if thy conduct be censured by one who is either thy inferior, or who, being more deserving of reprehension than thyself, should look to his own shortcomings, I would not have thee on that account fly into a passion, or fling aside the counsels which I have given thee, and refuse to examine thy conduct in the light of God, and this from the intimate persuasion that thou art liable to go astray at every step if the grace of the Lord did not preserve thee. 26. Never wish to be singularly loved, for as love depends upon the will, and as the will by its nature tends to that which is good, it follows that to be loved and to be considered good are one and the same thing. But the desire of being considered exceptionally good, and being esteemed above others, cannot be reconciled with true humility. Oh, what great fruit thou mightest derive from acting up to this doctrine! For thy soul, yearning then no longer for the love of creatures, would hide itself in the sacred wounds of its Savior. There, in the adorable heart of Jesus, she would experience ineffable divine sweetness, because having generously renounced the love of creatures for his sake, she would be able to taste abundantly that honey of divine consolation, which would be denied her were she taken up with the false and deceitful sweetnesses of earthly consolations. For divine consolation is so pure and real that it will not suffer the admixture of that which is earthly, and we are replenished with the one in proportion as we feel disgust for the other. Moreover, thy soul will be able to turn herself freely to God, and by the thought of his presence and infinite perfections to abide in his enjoyment. Finally, as there is nothing more delightful than to love and be loved, so if thou deprivest thyself of this pleasure for the love of God, and in order that he may possess thy heart whole and undivided, thou offerest a most acceptable sacrifice to God, and one that is in its highest degree meritorious. Nor fear lest by doing so thy love for thy neighbor should grow cold, yea, thou wilt rather love him with a purer and more perfect love, loving him no longer out of self-interest, that is, for the gratification of thy own inclinations, but purely for the sake of pleasing God, and of doing that which thou knowest to be acceptable to him. 27. Perform all thine actions, be they never so trifling, with great attention and the utmost exactness and diligence, because doing them thoughtlessly and hastily is the result of presumption. The truly humble man is always upon his guard, fearing lest there should be something amiss even in his smallest actions. For the same reason thou shouldest always prefer to practice ordinary exercises of piety, and shun in general all such extraordinary things as thine own inclination may suggest to thee. For as the proud man always seeks to make himself singular, so the humble man finds his delight in practices which are common and ordinary. 28. Know that thou art not fit to be thine own counselor, and therefore shouldest fear and be diffident of thine own opinions, and proceeding from a source that is marred and corrupt. Under this conviction thou wilt, as far as it is possible, always take counsel of some wise and conscientious person, and prefer rather to be led by one better than thyself than to follow thine own devices. 29. Whatever high degree of grace and virtue thou hast attained, whatever gift of prayer God hath bestowed upon thee, let it be as sublime as thou wilt, even if thy life hath been one of 1,000 years spent in innocence and fervor of devotion, thou oughtest, nevertheless, to walk always in fear and self-distrust, and more especially in matters touching purity. Recollect that thou carriest about in thee an indestructible germ and an inexhaustible fountain of sin, and know that thou art all weakness and unstableness, all unfaithfulness. Look, therefore, always to thyself. Close thine eyes and ears so as to neither to see nor hear anything that might sully thy soul. Always shun dangerous occasions, and with the other sex avoid all useless conversations, and in those that are necessary, maintain the most scrupulous modesty and reserve. Lastly, as thou canst do nothing good without the grace of God, beg of him constantly to have mercy on thee, and not for a single instant to leave thee to thyself. 30. Hast thou perchance received great talents from God, or art thou perhaps famous in the world for some great achievement? Then do thou, for this reason, endeavor the more to know thyself as thou truly art, and seek by careful introversion to convince thyself of thine own weakness, and thine own incapacity, and of thy own nothingness. Thou oughtest to appear in thine own eyes less than a little child, and not to take delight in the praises of men, and to be aware of being ambitious of honor. Yea, rather thou shouldest always reject both the one and the other.